Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
We're alone in the studio today, which is not that usual. I mean, the thing is, we've had a lot of guests in the studio, but, you know, sometimes people are out of town. We can't bring them in here. So, but nevertheless, we have a great show for you today, I think. I don't know. We only know it's good at the end.
Well, hopefully every day is good.
Yeah.
That would be our hope.
Yeah, yeah.
And best effort.
I suppose, yeah, yeah. It's is it warm in here, Jen?
No.
No?
I'm okay.
I'm feeling warm. I don't know why. I also don't understand why after 7 hours of sleep I'm so friggin' exhausted. But emotionally, I'm drained, you know.
Right, I mean, that's probably it.
Yeah, my mom's in the hospital and everything, so that's not easy. But I did try to get some sleep, and I did get some because I was extremely tired. So, yeah, it's going to be another long day. But, you know, that's what life's about, man. It's not about sleeping. It's about being awake.
Yeah.
And doing things.
I mean, I take a lot of pride in my sleep, but...
Do you?
Yeah, I love sleeping.
I know, me too. It's fun because you don't have any responsibilities when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just don't want to get up in the morning and face the responsibilities. But you've got to keep going, man.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So I know it's hard to get up in the morning. For some people, it's very hard. I think for most people, wouldn't you say it's hard to get up in the morning?
I mean, I don't know that it's... It just probably depends.
Yeah, I guess how many...
If they're morning people or how much they slept or what they have to face that day.
Right. That's true, too.
It's not hard for me to get up.
Yeah.
Unless I didn't sleep a lot and then I want to stay in bed.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, definitely if you have something to look forward to, it's easier to get up in the morning. And
hopefully you look forward to your life.
No, I do. Oh, yeah, in general, yeah.
Right.
And I feel that people should, even if they don't feel like getting up in the morning, you've got to. You know, if you're like depressed and all that, staying in bed is just going to make it worse.
Right.
So you gotta do something. And it's not easy, man. I mean, you see people with all kinds of problems. And we just have to be grateful we're healthy every day.
Exactly.
We really are very fortunate, I think. You know, thinking of all the shit that people go through and stuff. So, yeah. So how are you feeling this morning? I see you're all dressed for yoga and everything. Did you go?
No, not yet.
No, not yet? You're going afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought you'd go early in the morning.
No, so. I don't wake up early.
No, huh?
No, I wake up and come here.
Yeah, I know. There's people that
I didn't have this radio show, I would sleep till 9.
Yeah, and then do your yoga.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's at least something to look forward to after you leave here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hard class, so I don't know that I'm looking forward
hard,
to it,
huh?
But I have to go.
So why do you do it?
Because I have to work out.
Okay. So, but you don't enjoy it?
Today's class, not really.
Yeah.
Some classes I do.
Really?
Today, no.
Yeah. I know. Some people love going to the gym and stuff, you know? I mean, even for the hard stuff. But, yeah, I guess it depends on who you are. And
I like how I feel after, but, like, the actual class and content of the class itself is not my favorite. But it was the only class I could take today between everything else I have going on, so.
I see.
So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So there you go. You know, if you guys want to do yoga, do yoga. We're not going to say anything. What's going on? So we're going to have a guest calling in a few minutes. Jen, we're going to talk about online relationships.
My favorite.
Yeah. I like that, too. I told you I've been reading that book, Modern Romance.
Right. How's that?
And it's a very good book. He's funny, and he talks about the evolution of texting and online dating.
Are you learning?
And stuff. I'm learning.
Good.
But you know something interesting? He says how, you know, in the old days, before technology and everything, people would pretty much marry people in their own neighborhood, in their own school, in their own building even, many times. Because that was like your sphere, you know?
Right.
And today, you're meeting people that are on the other side of the world that you don't know, that you've never met, and that changes things, you know?
Makes the world smaller.
It does, but it also makes relationships maybe more vulnerable, I don't know, because you don't really know much of the background of the person like you would if you knew them.
Right.
You know, but I'm not saying it's better or worse. I mean, in fact, I think we're better off today since we have so much more to choose from. You know, but you have to remember that you're meeting a lot of people that are total strangers, and and it's not as easy, obviously, connecting and everything. So, so that's interesting. Also, he mentioned, I remember the video dating. There was computer dating companies and video dating companies, and people, you just go in and you do a video of yourself.
Ah.
Yeah. And then, in fact, was I? Yeah. The funny thing is I belonged to one when I was, in my 30s or something. It was called Great Expectations. And incidentally, we ended up having the founder of the company on our show, but I didn't know he was until he was here. Mm-hmm. He came here for something else. So, but it was very popular in the 80s, I would say. And they would send you a tape every few days, every week, with a few people they think you would connect with, and you'd watch their videos, and you'd have profiles and everything. So, but that was like a long process. Although maybe it was better because you spent more time with the person or with their stuff. So, so that was video dating at the time, and it was pretty. It was interesting, let's put it that way. You know, today obviously it's a lot easier, but the apps that we use today are like games, you know. For me, it's just a game, and I never pursue anything. I don't feel I want to take it to the phone because there's nothing that compelling. That's what I'm saying, you know. You're on Tinder, you don't know shit about that person,
so why be on it at all?
Because it's like a game for me. I'm just, when I've got nothing to do, I swipe right and
got
left.
It.
And write to a couple people that write to me or something, you know. But, yeah, I don't, I think, well, he's saying at least from what they found is that if you want something serious for a long-term relationship or a marriage, Match.com is the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. But I highly recommend J-Date, too, if you've... if you're looking for someone Jewish, that's where I met my second wife, actually. And that was pretty, you know, I mean, I remember the early days of the internet, like the early 90s. I was here and I was also in South Africa, and there was like all the online dating was free because everybody was trying to build up their websites. So it was cool. You could be on a lot of different sites, and I even met people through it. You know, it was sort of like more like the Wild West, you know. So there weren't as many people and everything, and it was pretty interesting, you know. And then things evolved. I mean, I remember Match.com was probably one of the first big ones, and it was free. It was free at the time, and then they changed it after they built a clientele there, an audience. So, yeah. Anyway, so I haven't driven Uber for a while, and because I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of like got used to having that sort of extra income was nice, you know, to sock away or something, you know.
Yeah.
So I need to get started back on that. It's just my life is too busy. And I just really do it just when I have time and for the fun of it. But now I'm thinking, I'm going, you know, I'm not sure... that I want to do it that much, which I don't. You know, I do, what, 10 hours a week or something? That's not a lot. But, yeah. But this friend of mine had this woman in his car, and she started giving him shit. Like, we need, like, the destination where you go to. And some people tell you, no, I'll just tell you how to get there. But you have to have it, you know. So he insisted, and she started screaming at him and all this stuff, and then she was bad-mouthing him, and then she called someone on the phone and told him what an abusive driver this was and everything. And I couldn't believe he was telling me this. And so at a certain point, he told us, he said, I didn't even say a word to you. I just asked you for the address. How do you figure that I'm abusive and everything? So she wouldn't stop, right? He told us, said, get out of my car. You know? And I'm like, I said to him, I'm surprised you waited that long. I would have thrown her out of the car a long time before that, you know, for that kind of attitude. I mean, you know, you got to remember, it's your car. You know, people, if they don't behave, you have every right to get rid of them.
Right.
You know.
But what do? Just put them on the street?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to leave them in the middle of the desert. But at the same time, I mean, they could take another Uber if you drop them off right. in town or something. But why should you have to take that abuse from people?
Right.
You know. And that's what I'm saying. And I think the company empathizes with the drivers when it comes to that, because they know it can happen. So if you get a hit on your rating, they might help you out. I don't know. Yeah. So there was, a Twitter fight started between Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift. Have you heard about that?
I have.
So what do you know about it? I mean, what are they fighting about?
I believe because they were Nicki Minaj was snubbed for a VMA award nomination from MTV, mm-hmm. and Taylor Swift received a nomination.
Okay, so she is jealous.
So Nicki Minaj is saying that, like, you know, African American women are not being represented in that category, and Beyonce mm. wasn't. I don't believe in, like, just because Taylor Swift got every supermodel mm. known to man,
yeah,
in her video that she got nominated. But that's, I guess, it.
So it's a nomination for the video and not the song,
right?
Okay, so it's for the video itself, awards. Right? I know, but. Yeah. But who watches music videos anymore? Online, maybe, right?
I don't know why it's even still an award show, but
right.
I think MTV is holding on to its last legs of what it once was.
Right. But I think the best, I mean, the video of the year or something, that's one of the awards. But I think they have, like, best song and best album and things like that, don't they? Or is it just video awards on everything? I don't know.
It's videos.
So what, they would have, like, a video. So how many video awards can you give?
I mean, best rock song video, best country video, mm. best pop video, best yeah. whatever video.
I see. Okay.
And then they do performances and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's different from other music shows. Here they pay attention to the video. You
right.
say. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, it's not like Nicki Minaj has not gotten awards, right? I mean, she's been recognized. She's a huge star.
Right.
Right.
I don't know what awards she's won.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know, man. It's like they invoke that race card every time. Well, not every time, but sometimes this happens. And it's not pleasant to read, man. I mean, because you know it's not like that. Somebody posted on Facebook something like, we all know that... everyone dislikes Obama because he's black. And I wrote to him, I said, I take issue with that. I don't dislike him because he's black. It has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like his policies. But that's what happens. And then people view this from this perspective. And that's what lightens and that's what ignites like racist fights and stuff, I think, and arguments and confrontations. And I think people should just keep race out of the conversation unless it's constructive. You know. Anyway, here's our guest, so let's go ahead and take that. And we're going to be joined by David Price. David, are you with us?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Good morning
to
you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Where are you calling us from this morning? What city are you in?
I'm actually in an undisclosed location. I can't reveal it because it's for an upcoming episode that we're actually shooting right now.
Oh, really? And the location can't be disclosed?
No, you have to stay tuned to find out. We're filming all over the U.S. and even internationally as well.
Wow, so it's an on-location type of show. Okay, so now we didn't get any links or anything, not even the name of the show, but let's talk about whatever we can talk about. You're with a company called Fly on the Wall Entertainment. What do you guys do?
Well, we produce all kinds of reality shows and docuseries, and right now we are in the midst of doing an exciting new docuseries for the Oxygen Network called Virtually in Love. And the reason we are traveling on the road, going all over the country and all over the world, is because our show is about connecting couples who are in love, who have had an online long-distance relationship, and we're chronicling their journey to meeting in the real world for the very first time and seeing how their relationship develops once they meet each other in person.
Right. Wow. So these are long-distance relationships where people had never met before?
People have never met before. And, you know, this is not catfish. You know, we're looking for genuine couples with legitimate obstacles to meeting. These are people who go to sleep with each other every night over FaceTime or Skype and say, I love you to each other, and just for whatever reason, haven't been able to meet in person. And we are providing them this opportunity, all expenses paid, to do it on our show so we can help people actualize their relationships in the real world and see if they can make it work together.
How cool.
Yeah, and that would be interesting. It would be like being a fly on the wall, you know, where you're watching people and stuff, and I'm sure there's going to be disappointments there too. Not everybody's going to be probably very happy once they meet the other person. David?
Well, look, you know, it's very interesting to see how people may be a little different than you expect when they're in the real world versus online. And you get to learn so much more about them, you know, physically as well. You know, how do they smell? You know, what's the first kiss going to be like? All those exciting things and all those exciting firsts that couples have when they're together in the real world.
Right.
But so many people these days are exploring these online relationships. And, you know, we're in this age that is so exciting where you can really connect with anyone across the world and develop a relationship with. And many people, you know, all across the world are falling in love with people who they are meeting online. So it's exciting, and I think a great and important time now that the culture is experiencing so much of this for us to really explore this topic for the first time in this way.
How cool. And so do you bring one person to the other, or do you decide on a mutual location and then bring both people to that?
We bring them into each other's world. So we'll fly someone out to the other person's hometown. They'll get to meet their friends and family and see their real world. And then they'll come with us to the other person's hometown, where that person will help to introduce them to their friends and family and their world.
Wow.
Awesome. And do you set them up on any cool dates, like kind of like bachelor or bachelorette style, like anything fancy?
You know, we don't set anything up for them because these are the first meets that they plan themselves. And, you know, we just arrange that we're okay to film at the locations that they want to go to and stuff like that. But it's interesting because people have different ideas as to what they want to do with these people. And, you know, going on dates or different activities, which friends or which family and what settings, that's all stuff that comes from them, and we help to make that happen.
Very cool. Now, so how did the idea come about? Is that your idea, your concept?
You know, I did not initially generate this idea, and I am not sure exactly the specific person who did, but, you know, I'm glad that they did because, like I said, it's such a, you know, a timely time for this type of concept, and I think the viewers are already hungry and ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here on the show we talk about online dating all the time, and it's you know, it's definitely something that's relatively new in our world, but something that I think doesn't have the stigma anymore like it used to.
So, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. It doesn't have a stigma. You know, the online world has fully developed into almost everything that the real world has, and people are much more comfortable than they have been in the past as far as reaching out to people for all types of things online.
Right.
And, you know, and any of your viewers who are listening, you know, I encourage you, if you are in a long-distance relationship and haven't met your love, just so you know, we're still looking for people for some upcoming episodes, and we're casting.
Oh, wow.
And you can go to our website, meetyouronlinelove.com, and we could make your dream come true and help you meet your love. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Well, that's very cool. Now, so do you have a few episodes already? Or
Yes, we're in the midst of filming right now, and it's been really exciting and fun to see these people meet and how it develops. And I can't tell you how it turns out because you have to stay tuned to see. But I'll tell you, you know, there are definitely some interesting surprises, and it's nice to see, you know, us answer the question, you know, can love conquer all, and can people make the jump from the online world to the real world? And every person is different, and every relationship is unique. And for those of you who are listening and wondering, you know, your online relationship, you know, can that work? Will it work? Are you dying to meet them? This is your chance.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Do you have any statistics on whether or not, like, starting in that way might work work out better than just meeting somebody, you know, randomly? Like, I would feel like the communication might be better in this circumstance because you communicate the whole first part of your relationship.
You know, I think you're right, and I don't have a specific number that I've heard, but I have read that people who have communicated online before they met were actually more likely to be successful in their relationships because they don't jump into the physical right away. They really get to know each other and who they are, and then once they get into the physical realm and physical world, they're already that much more emotionally connected.
That's true. And I think there's, you know, eventually you develop like a burning desire to meet that other person because you're already fascinated by what you found out about them as far as personality. So I have to agree with that view. You know, I mean, it totally makes sense that if you focus more on the personality and on the character, that it's bound to work better because you know more about the person than if it's just a physical attraction. You go to bed and then you find out that person's really not for me.
It's like what Steve Harvey says about waiting the 90-day period.
Yeah.
Exactly. It always goes back to Steve Harvey.
Except you're forced to do that here with a long-distance relationship.
Right. Well, either way, you still get there.
Yeah.
So when do we start seeing these episodes on TV?
Well, we don't have an official air date yet, but it is definitely coming soon, and you will be hearing about it. We'll let you know when we have that air date set so that everyone can watch as well. But like I said, we're filming now, and we're casting now, and now is the time for all the people who want to be on the show. There's still plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
And again, they can go to, you know, meetyouronlinelove.com. to apply and see if you can get on.
Yeah. Let's see. So meetyouronlinelove.com, folks, if you want to join this, a great, great opportunity to actually meet your long-distance lover whom you never met before. I mean, that's very exciting. So go to that website. They're now casting online couples. And what's the name of the show going to be again, David?
Virtually in Love.
Virtually in Love.
Cute.
Yeah, I like
cute
that.
Name.
Totally descriptive.
Good play. Yeah. Good play on the word virtual too.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. So, yes, you see what we did there.
I do. I see it.
Yeah. I'll still have to think about it a little bit. I'm not quite awake, but
oh,
okay.
I'll explain it to him after.
Okay. I mean, I understand virtual is in online, you know, but am I missing something there?
Yeah, like the word virtual is, right, you know, like digital, virtual, like
right,
that. But then virtually in love, you're right, like almost like in, like some, basically
yes,
in love.
Okay, yeah. Well, I thought that was easy to figure out. I thought maybe I'm missing something.
No.
I don't know. I figured there's like a double meaning to it.
You got
all
it.
Right. All right. David Price from Fly on the Wall Entertainment, Virtually in Love. And go to the website, please, folks. You have to be a certain age, right?
You have to be over 18. Okay. 18 and over.
Okay, so that's a minimal qualification. Almost everybody can pass that test. And
yes.
Yeah. So now let me ask you this. What about people that met But they're still in a long-distance relationship where they don't see each other maybe once a month. That doesn't qualify for this show, right?
You're right. It doesn't qualify for this show because we think there's something really special with being a part of the journey and seeing people meet for the first time and all that goes along with that.
That's true.
Just for people that haven't met for whatever reason and they're dying to meet, we had people who have been dating for years and haven't met, and they're so in love, and yet they just haven't had the means to meet. So we're providing them with that opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
amazing. So is each episode a happy episode, like a happy ending, or maybe there's some disappointment?
Well, hey, we don't know because it all depends on the couple, and everyone's story is unique. You know, everyone experiences it in a different way that's unique to themselves. And we're still filming, and as we go, we're being surprised by how people react to each other in different ways.
Right. Wow, very cool. All right, well, everybody, go check it out. If you have a long-distance relationship, that's the way to go. And I would definitely say this is relevant to today's dating scene. You know, I mean, it's totally different, and it's funny that you call it dating without ever having met anybody, because I would think dating is actually seeing that person, you know, and going out with them and stuff. But
yes, but you know, you can get to know someone so much better, even you know, online, as we were saying, and it is so interesting that now the word dating takes on this different meaning in our world that is online and off.
Right. Wow, very cool. So I'm just trying to get past the age verification here to see the website itself. So hang on just a second, because I'm only seeing the front page. But okay. All right, well, that's fine. So people can go there, just verify your age. You got to be over 18, and that's pretty much the qualification. And, of course, you have to have a long-distance lover that you've never met before. David,
And not only, I want to say, not only will we cover all expenses necessary to bring couples together, we will also pay the couples a stipend for their time. It is a great opportunity not only to meet your love for free, but to get a little more out of it too.
Yeah. Well, we better rush onto a dating site and find somebody. Maybe we can qualify too. You know, that would be cool.
Hey,
sounds good to me.
So you would take him. So David, you would take him anywhere in the world? Like if I met someone in Russia or something and we fell in love, you'd even go there?
Absolutely. And in fact, we're encountering a lot of that because, of course, those obstacles are even bigger for some people, and it's a lot harder to make that trip.
Right.
And we will be there to make that trip with them.
Well, definitely an original concept, David, and we wish you all the best with this.
Can't wait to watch.
Yeah. So,
thank you so much.
Please come back on the show when the show is ready to air so we know, and to bring our attention to it so we can actually check it out after having talked about it.
That sounds great. That would be fantastic.
Okay, David. Thank you so much, and all the best to you. Much success with the show.
Okay, my pleasure. All the best to you as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, it really sounds cool, don't you think, Jen?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Wow. Yeah, anything having to do with relationships is fun and interesting, I think, because it's like so part of people's lives, you know? And yeah, I kind of, you know, in a way I like being single, because when you're in a relationship, you wonder, what am I missing out on, you know? And then you become single and you go, you know what, I'm not really missing out on anything. It depends what you're looking for, I suppose. I don't know.
I mean, if you want, like, you know, the ability to do whatever you want in your life and not have anyone to, you know, like, think about other than yourself.
To report to,
then that's probably best to be single.
Right. Yeah. Or if you love to have fun and you don't want to be tied down, I guess. Yeah.
I think you can fun in a relationship, but yes.
No, you can have fun in a relationship, definitely. You got to find the right one, and then you don't care about other people. I don't know if you noticed that, but when I meet somebody I really like, it's like suddenly nobody else exists, you know?
Right.
It's like you don't care. It's like, oh, I've got someone now.
Right.
Yeah.
You stop looking.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the problem with the dating apps, is that, you know, it provides you the ability to never settle down because you can continue swiping. Even if you like somebody, you might be like, oh, there might be someone better out there because I'm presented with all these options. There's so many fish in the sea.
Right.
But I think, though, if you really do like somebody, you'll probably stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if it's not, if it's a priority for you, you'll probably be like, well, I don't need to keep looking.
Yeah. You see, I don't know how many relationships really come out of these dating apps as opposed to the websites like Match.com and stuff. You know, like Tinder, I don't know. Do you know of any long-term relationships that came out of it?
Yeah, I know two people that got married.
Really? From Tinder?
Mm-hmm. And okay. I know I have a
then
friend.
I have to take it back.
I have a friend that's now in a relationship with a guy that she met on Tinder, and they're very happy.
Wow. How cool. So it does work, folks.
I think the way that it works is probably if you meet somebody or if you're dating a couple of people, kind of like how The Bachelorette works in like those shows. Like if you're dating a couple of people, you can see like who you like and who you don't like or like who you like more than somebody else. I don't think you should stop seeing everybody immediately just because you meet somebody you like. But I think you need to sort of see them all through. And the one that you like the most will stand out and then you'll decide to be with that person alone.
Right. But wouldn't you say if you meet someone you like, you know, you like a lot, why would you continue dating other people?
Well, because how do you know if you met them once that you like them a lot? I think you have to give like...
But so what? So what are you missing out on if you don't? You know what
I'm saying? I just think that there's something to be said for dating.
Right. No, I know. I know. I just think that if you met someone and you both like each other and stuff... try to focus on that and not really date somebody else. And if this doesn't work, what have you lost? You know, a couple weeks of your life, you know?
I think it's just a different perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I would probably... I'm trying to think how I would feel about it. I mean, I would understand if she kept on seeing other guys when we just met, but I don't think I would like it, you know? So... You're right. It's a matter of perspective.
Right. You also don't have to know. Like, if I went out with somebody tomorrow and they're seeing other people, if they like other people, then they should see those people.
Right.
They shouldn't. I mean, obviously, at some point, we wouldn't continue seeing each other if it was, like, going somewhere. And then at some point, you have that conversation. But if it's not going somewhere, you stop seeing each other.
Right. Right. But what I'm saying in the beginning, if it's going well... why sabotage it? You know what
I don't
I'm
think
saying?
It's called sabotage if
you
look
don't
at
think
it
so?
This way.
No. Okay, well,
I also don't want somebody to throw all their eggs in one basket for
no,
me.
No, you don't have
like,
to.
That's a lot of pressure.
But I'm just saying in the beginning, you know, in the beginning, give it a try and just focus on that rather than spread yourself thin. Because in essence, that's what you're complaining about is people just keep swiping because maybe there's something better.
Well, I don't think they should swipe endlessly, but I don't think they should also focus on one single person because you don't, when you first meet somebody, like you don't know what else somebody was doing. Like they could have gone on a date yesterday and then they went out with you. Like let's just say tonight I went out on a date and then tomorrow I'm going on another date. Both are first dates.
No, I mean that's fine. I thought we were talking about like let's say you have met someone and you went on a couple dates at least, you know, where you guys show interest.
Well,
not,
I mean,
not
I
after
think
the first date.
I still think three dates is like the marker for like when you know like if you should continue seeing somebody or not, and like you cut it or you keep going, and that's a sign that you actually want to invest in the other person. But like, I think the first one or two dates, like you can still be seeing other people.
Right.
Even three dates, and then you decide, like, okay, well, I'm going to now venture down the path with this person, or I'm going to stop seeing them, and I'm going to keep seeing other people, or I'm going to whatever. Like, I just think people take it way too seriously too soon.
Right. Well, I don't know. Like you said, it's a matter of perspective.
Right.
I think maybe you're not giving that other person a chance, and maybe they don't like it. You know, maybe they're saying, wow, she's great. I'd like to try something with her, but maybe she's not trying hard enough if she wants to continue dating after we met. You know, and again,
but I don't
I'm saying
think that's
it's
not trying hard enough. I think you should put effort into every single thing you do in your life anyway, but I also don't think that, like, there's something to be said for dating.
Hmm.
Like
what do you mean?
Dating people. Like not I mean you're not in a relationship until you're in a relationship.
Right.
So you're free to date whoever you want. I think it's important. A lot of people don't know what they're looking for. So then they'll get into a relationship with somebody just because they like them enough to continue seeing them. But if you haven't dated and you don't know what else is out there in terms of like if you go on a date with somebody and it's terrible, like or you realize you don't like something about that person, that, you know, is something that you note. Okay, right. I don't like that. Right. So that gives you perspective on when you're dating people, I think, is right. that to date not several people, don't whore yourself out and don't have sex with everybody, but like, I think it's important to know what you like and what you don't like, and I think it's important to know what's out there.
Right. But just, I think a good example is like The Bachelor and The Bachelorettes, where you see that it's, I mean, the guy's dating like a million women at one time, you know, it's just
25,
like,
right, yes.
Yeah, and that seems weird, you know, I mean, the thing is that I can't see how he can possibly focus on anybody, so, I mean, even, I think even when you have three, what do you do, sit there and go, okay, well, which one do I like best, you know?
Yeah, because there's somebody that always stands out, mm-hmm. so... I actually do think the show, there's something very interesting to the formula in which it works. And I've talked to people that work on the show and like, is it real? Like, how is it possible anyone's crying? Why are they crying?
Yeah.
They barely know these people. And they're like, well, because it's a heightened reality. They're taken away into captivity, basically, and like forced to really open up and consider these people as real, viable prospects for their life. And so... because it's heightened emotions and it's a shorter time frame and everything, you have to take it seriously.
Right.
Because as for the bachelor or the bachelorette, like that could be their husband or wife one day. So they do feel things quicker than you would in the average world. Because like if I date somebody tonight and then I don't see them for a week, it's a really slow progression.
Right.
But if they're seeing the same people every single day and like it's a growing thing, then they are going to have those feelings.
Yeah.
We might not understand them because we're not there in that house with them, but to them, that's real.
Yeah.
And so I think that you can sit in a room, like, okay, they do these group dates. So let's say the bachelor's on a group date with seven women. If one woman doesn't speak and she's an introvert, he might be like, well, I don't like introverts. So she's done.
Right.
Or one girl's too loud, or one girl drinks too much, or one girl is really funny, or maybe three girls are really awesome out of that group of seven. He knows he likes those three.
Right.
The other four can go.
But we also have to remember it's a game, you know? That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's fine, not
but
realistic.
Let's take the game out of it just for a second and the idea of dating. The idea of dating is you're going to find people that you connect with better than or more than other people. Right. And you're going to have more things in common. You're going to like something about somebody. You may even like, I mean, I at this point, I'm like, oh my God, blonde people exist. I had no idea there was an entire population of them. Even bald men. I'm like, hold on. Who are you guys? Because you've never registered to me. And that's because I had a type. And I think dating multiple people and even saying yes to people you wouldn't normally say yes to opens your eyes up to things that you wouldn't have known you liked. And it offers a different perspective.
Yeah. Wow. So you've had a type and now you decided you've been limiting yourself.
And even to the point of like, I like alpha males. That's a type. And maybe I like other people too. Right. I don't know. I mean, I definitely know what I like and what I don't like personality wise based on my years of dating. I'm 30. I've had enough years of dating to know. But now personality coupled with like different appearances is now a thing. So you just grow every day. So I don't think that like getting into a relationship too quick is the right idea. I think you should date and... I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I think from experience that if you do meet the right one for you, it's almost a slam dunk, you know. It's like, okay, well, I know this is the person I want to at least try with, so I'll put the dating on hold and I'll just focus on that. But obviously we don't agree on that, but which is fine. I mean, you're more experienced in dating, so I would have to accept that makes sense, you know.
And it's what works for me and my perspective and what I've seen. So that's all I can speak to. But I mean, it's also not for everybody. Some people just want to lock it down the second they find somebody they like.
Yeah, interesting. And, does Lauren have a type too? I'm wondering.
Yes.
She does?
Yeah.
Do you guys have the same type or is it different?
It's different.
Different?
It's similar in some ways and different in other ways.
Wow. So is she willing to be flexible too now that you are?
We're not a team in dating.
I know.
And we're not the same person, so we're on a different path, I think. And also, we're different ages, and we've experienced different things. So
I
can't speak for her.
Right. Okay. Which means we do need to invite her back to the show, right? to promote your Kickstarter campaign.
I don't know that she'll be able to do that because she's going away.
But okay. Oh, well.
Yes.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and promote it again, Jen.
Great. So we've got 6 days left on our Kickstarter campaign, and we are getting close to the end, and we would appreciate any donations that anyone can make. And we're in the midst planning our launch party for our radio show.
For the radio show. It's going to be on relationships and love dating.
Relationships, love, online dating, the whole thing.
Yeah, and they're experts at that if you guys have listened to the show before. So there's a lot to talk about, and they're funny, and they're fun, and it would be great. I, for one, am looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Know? Yeah. So, yeah, everybody, go donate whatever you can. You can find it at on your Twitter page, right?
On our Twitter, you can go to Two Drunk Girls. It's T-W-O, Drunk Girls. And we have our Kickstarter link there. So feel free to donate. We appreciate it. The more donations we get, the more episodes we get on the air.
There you go. And if you're a guy and you want to follow a couple of women out on the town and go and have a party and everything with them, you definitely want to do that because those are some of the perks. And
we're also, we've fun gift bags we're giving away at our launch party.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And maybe you can even have someone as a guest on your show and stuff. You know?
Yeah, we'll see.
That could be a perk too.
If you bring us your story, we could possibly have you on.
Right. There you go. So, yeah, you guys got to help out, folks. Let's see. Okay, so that was meetyourloveonline.com. And we talked about Nicki Minaj already and Taylor Swift. And we started talking about race again. And I don't understand why that has to be part of a conversation about awards. It's just incendiary, I think.
I think it's an easy thing to point to. And it's a great scapegoat for why somebody's not nominated for something. You know, it was the same issue that we faced in the Oscars when Selma wasn't nominated. It was nominated for, like, soundtrack, or I don't know. Maybe it was nominated for Best Picture, but I don't think David Oyelowo was nominated for Best Actor, which was the issue. But anyway, so it's going to be a thing. It's probably going to be a thing for a really long time. And you know what? If it's not a race thing, and our, because also we're becoming multicultural and every race is blending, all of a sudden it's going to be a something like a hair color thing. People just want something to point out that's different.
Yeah. It's a very charged conversation, but apparently Taylor Swift was not going to let her get away with this, with these kind of comments, and she made her her own comments, and then they're saying Kim Kardashian got involved too. So, I guess this is about, it's also about women too, about curvy black women, I guess. And so she's saying, you know, if you have... if I was a different kind of artist, Anaconda would be nominated for Best Video. So, yeah. She tweeted, if your video celebrates women with very slim bodies, you'll be nominated for Vid of the Year. All right, so someone is bitter.
Right.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. Did you hear that in some places, citizens are taking up arms and to defend the Marine and military personnel, you know, like, you know, the guy went into a Marine Corps.
Yeah.
That was a recruiting station, I think, or something. And he shot up the people because they didn't have guns. And so citizens are doing it for them. And people are saying, you know, I mean, the authorities are saying, you know, don't do this. This puts everybody at risk and stuff. But what's interesting is the Pentagon is saying they do not support arming all military personnel. And I find that bizarre. I mean, these are soldiers. They're a target. They represent us. They're responsible. They know how to use firearms. Why not? And that's what I'm trying to find out in the article. Why not? Why did this guy say it's our policy not to do this?
Well, to arm them when? All the time?
All the time. You know, like... Well, you know, we can't compare, but I can tell you that in Israel, soldiers walk around, even if when they go home, they have their guns with them at all time. So it's like, because you're a target as long as you have your uniform on.
Right. I think if you have your uniform on, you should have something on.
That's what I mean.
Right. Is that what they're saying? Are they saying off duty? Or are they saying all the time?
They're not saying. They're probably saying all the time, because the policy is of not supporting arming all military personnel. That's what he said. So all military personnel, that means that some do get to have weapons, but I don't know why they're doing this. They're saying that, I guess the Marine Corps itself is saying, while we greatly appreciate the support of the American public during this tragedy, we ask that citizens do not stand guard at our recruiting offices. So, of course, what are they going to say? It's embarrassing them. You know, I don't understand that. But it just goes to show now that, you know, I'm starting to change on guns. You know, I mean, I'm pretty conservative in my views. But I felt up until now, people shouldn't have guns, you know, because most of the time you're not going to use it. You don't need it. There's been accidents with guns and everything. And this country has just become gun happy. That's been my opinion. But the more you look, the more you realize that when you're doing this, you're just keeping people from defending themselves. Because gun laws do not stop criminals, you know. I mean, so the criminal, let's say, is always going to have a gun, whether it's legal or not. So should you have the right to defend yourself and your family? Definitely, you know. So I don't know what police can do when you're at your home and someone's pointing a gun at you. You know, so I'm coming around this. I'm starting to see the point. Although I still think we're gun happy. You know, all these people going out hunting animals for no particular reason other than sport, you know.
I think in a perfect world, if you want to know my opinion,
yeah,
that only military would have guns.
Yeah. What about police?
That too.
Mm. Yeah, in a perfect world, but that's right. Not happening.
Armed forces is armed forces. They need to be armed, but I don't think that anybody else should. I don't even think people should hunt, because also I feel for the animals. So
yeah, no.
I think, you know, if we're just going to be honest, I don't also understand skeet shooting. None of it. So
yeah.
I think we should just do away with it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that, let's say, it is kind of a sport, you know. I mean, you're aiming, there's a competitive effort to it, but you're not hurting anybody.
Fine,
you know?
But if to it's done animals, in a sport, but, like, who owns the gun that's used in the skeet shooting? Like, fine, right. But, like, there are people that live, you know, in more rural parts of town, and they have guns that for hunting, they have guns for skeet shooting. It's more like that kind of environment, but I just think do away with them all.
Yeah.
But then again, people have knives, so then what do you do with knives? Does everybody carry a knife? Like,
right. You see, the thing is this, is that you have to understand something. It's not really up to you, because if a criminal puts you on the defensive, you don't really have a choice but to use a gun. That's the same argument with, you know, going to war with our enemies, with ISIS and stuff. It's like, yeah, we may be tired of war, but they're not. So if we just lay down our arms, we're going to be slaughtered. So it's not like sometimes you don't have a choice. You just have to do it.
Well, that's why, hence, in a perfect world.
Yeah, in a perfect world, a lot of things would be different, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for today. Thank you, David Price, for calling in. Everybody, check out the show. And if you want to be part of a show that features long-distance relationships, if you met someone online and never seen them in person, you have a chance to be on the show. And I just closed the website, but you guys can just... Do you remember what it was? Find your...
I don't remember.
Findyouronlinemate.com or something. Or find your online love. Yeah, just listen to earlier in the show. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.